The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with us all, the gathering. Love is my light and my salvation. Love is the strength of my life. One thing I have asked of love, that I shall ever seek. Our delight is in the broadness of the world. Kia ora tato. Let's prepare for our meditation by reading. The law of love is perfect. The testimony of love is sure. The precepts of love are right. The rights of love are true. Let us be still. Let us be still and let the quiet settle our busy minds. Let the beauty of this place be with our spirits. May our prayer enfold us in the love that will not let us go. May our worship refresh us, stir our thoughts to reach out what we dream for. May the Spirit of Jesus remind us of our calling. In the name of Jesus we pray. Let us say together the Jesus Prayer on our sheets. Life, eternal Spirit, life giver, pain bearer, love maker, source of all that is and shall be, Father and Mother of us all, loving God in whom is heaven, the hallowing of your name echo through the universe, the way of your justice be followed by the peoples of the world. Beings, your commonwealth of peace and freedom, sustain our hope and come on earth. With the bread we need for today, feed us. In the hurts we absorb from one another, forgive us. In times of temptation and test, strengthen us. From trials too great to endure, spare us. From the grip of all that is evil, bring us. For you reign in the glory of the power that is love, now and forever. Amen. Now to light the rainbow candle. Who will come and help? We can have two. I need two, actually. Have you got a friend? Yes, you've got a friend. Good. You could start. Light the flame there. Do you come up too? And you blow out that one. That's right. And you stand here with me. Don't go away. Hymns that you learn as a child and are never forgotten. It's in our order of service. Jesus Bids Us Shine. Vivian will play for us and we'll remember what we learned a long time ago, and then my candle holders will help us. Jesus bids us shine. Now, would you like to hold this candle for me? Burning in the night, in this world of darkness, so let us shine. You in your small corner, and I in mine. Thank you. Now you can turn around and put them on the table. Now, will the children like to come and we'll join together and think about the stories of Jesus? Good. Come and let's sit down. Tell me the stories of Jesus. We all like stories. Do you get stories read to you at all? At night? Have you got any favorite stories that you like? Do you get stories read to you too? Sometimes. Now we need to learn. Coming to church is about learning about the stories of Jesus. And that takes really quite a lot of listening and learning. A little while ago, I wrote a book about the life of Jesus because I wanted to tell stories to our grandchildren, so I thought I'd put it in a little book. Now, it's a story we could all write. We could ask everybody here at church today to write a story about Jesus. What a collection that would be. A nice folder of stories. What Jesus means to me. And how I learnt about all the stories. I wrote a story, not, and I did copy some of the stories really, almost from the Bible, not quite, but I wanted to ask one particular question in my story. How did Jesus learn all the things that he taught people? He told stories we call parables, and he said a lot of very wise, quick, clever things. His mind must have been very alert. And I said to myself, where did he learn that? How did he learn that? So in my story, because it's all made up, we don't really know it all, I gave Jesus a very special teacher. So he went to school each day, just like you do, and instead of having books, there are no books, of course, He followed the teacher on with his pointer on the big, big scrolls that they learned from. And in my story, Jesus began to ask questions. Questions about why we do things the way we do them. Questions about what's going to happen if we keep on doing this. And then I had him going with this teacher over the hills to a place called Sepphoris. Now, he lived, we think, in a little village called Nazareth, with maybe a couple of hundred people at the most. And Sepphoris is over the hill, about an hour's walk. And the interesting thing for me was, it's not mentioned in the Bible, but it's there. An important town for trade, and it had big roads going through it that led up to the north. So I had Jesus going with the teacher in the afternoons over the hills down to Sepphoris to sit in the synagogue and listen to the wise men talking. And on the way home, I have Jesus asking questions. What were they saying? And why did they say this? And why did they say that? Because Jesus must have learned like you and I learn, from a teacher. A friend of mine said, perhaps Jesus learned all he learned from his parents. And I thought that was interesting. His mother would sing the songs and his father would say the prayers, and perhaps he learned a lot of that from his mum and dad. But well, in my story, he had this special teacher. So I want you to ask questions of why we do things. What are we coming to church for? What do we hope to learn? Yes? Learn about Jesus. So what I've done, I've got a few of these books left over. So if you don't mind, or your parents don't mind, I thought I'd give you one of these. And then maybe sometime in life, if you've got nothing to do, you might like to read. And there's one for the little one when she grows up. I've just got enough. Look at that. That's good. So we can learn the stories of Jesus. Now, before you go to Rainbow Room, which is down the back of the church today, we're going to sing another of the hymns I learned as a little boy going to Sunday school. Thank you. And this is Tell Me the Stories of Jesus I Long to Hear. We're going to listen to Vivian play it first. We'll just stay seated and sing another old, old hymn. Tell me the stories of Jesus I love to hear. Things I would ask him to tell me if he were here. Scenes by the wayside, tales by the sea. Stories of Jesus, tell them to me. Let's stand while we say goodbye to the children. May you grow in understanding. Amen. Now, if you'd like to go down the back of the church, Linda will be there. And we can pass the peace to one another while we're standing.
This morning's Hebrew Bible reading is from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 to 7. Now this is the commandment, the statutes and the ordinances that the Lord your God charged me to teach you to observe in the land that you are about to cross into and occupy, so that you and your children and your children's children may fear the Lord your God all the days of your life and keep all his decrees and his commandments that I am commanding you, so that your days may be long. Hear, therefore, O Israel, and observe them diligently, so that it may go well with you, and so that you may multiply greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, has promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. Keep these words that I am commanding you today in your heart. Recite them to your children, and talk about them when you are at home, and when you are away, when you lie down, and when you rise. This morning's gospel reading is from Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 to 18. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hidden. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. The Law and the Prophets. Do not think that I have come to abolish the Law or the Prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until that heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the Law until all is accomplished. Contemporary reading from Notes Towards the Supreme Fiction by Wallace Stevens. It must be possible to find the real, to be stripped of every fiction except one, the fiction of an absolute. At the end of the mind, beyond the last thought, the bird sings, its feathers shine. To dream the impossible dream, to fight the unbeatable foe, to bear the unbearable sorrow, to run where the brave dare not to go. For the word in Scripture, for the word among us, for the word within us, we give thanks.
There's a story told about the great St. John. He was getting very old, and the people wanted to hear from him, so in the town where he lived, they gathered in the square and waited for St. John. And the old man came into the center of the square and paused, looked around, and said, "Little children, love one another." And then he walked away. "This is a great truth," they said to each other. "St. John has spoken wisely and well. We are to be grateful for what he says. We must ask him to speak again." So they waited again in the town square, and a hush came over them as old St. John came into their midst, and he lifted his head and said, "Little children, love one another," and went away. Once again, the people said, "It is indeed worth saying again, to hear from great St. John what it is that life is all about." And they talked amongst themselves quite a bit, and then finally said, "We need to ask him once more." So they gathered in the town square and waited for him to come. And when he came, the hush was even greater as they waited. And he lifted his head and said, "Little children, love one another." And the bolder of the people there stepped forward and said, "This is a great truth that you're telling us, St. John. Is there more?" And St. John replied, "There is no more," and left. I suspect that most young children starting off on the Christian way are taught to be good. Jesus was a good man. Be good like Jesus. Jesus was a kind man, so be nice to people. Be like Jesus. Jesus was a helper. Be like Jesus. Be a helper. These are good things. To be good, kind, and helpful. If the world had more of them, wouldn't it be a better place? They do carry other words sort of not said behind them. You must. You should. You ought to be like this. And these are the rules of the law that keep you on the straight and narrow. Keep you a little in a straitjacket. That one must do more, be better. All these pushy things. We said grace at meals, and at night I said my little prayer, gentle Jesus, meek and mild, look upon a little child, pity my simplicity, suffer me to come to thee. And then my mother added an extra line for good measure, and make Alistair a good boy. Amen. Goodness was next to godliness, and maybe in place of godliness, really. We were, I think, looking back, taught more to be a sort of a Puritan rather than the spontaneous love of Christians. Ah, yes, my Victorian father. And what he said to me. He said, be good to your wife and look after your mother. That's good advice for a father to a boy. Taught really to be chauvinist because women needed looking after, you see, they were the gentler, softer, kinder, less able sex. And we men had a responsibility with our wives and our mothers to look after them. And we had to be a helper and to go out and help others. We came perilously near, I think, learning that terrible prayer that says, I thank you, Lord, that I am not as other men. That there was to be a gap, and there was a gap. And one had to be careful who you helped and how you helped and why you helped. The deserving good was sort of in the background. And so we continued to learn at Bible class camps and conferences, hundreds of boys at Easter time down at Hunua, out of Auckland. We learnt these things and we thought we were learning about God, but looking back, always wise looking back, we were learning more about ourselves. Changes came in the 60s. The 60s are important, and I think we might hear a little bit more about them next week. In the 60s, Bobby Kennedy was shot, Martin Luther was shot, the big communist push in Vietnam began, and a marvelous little book called Honest to God by Bishop Robinson was written in 1963 and began to change, if it had not already begun, to change the theological thinking of our time. And we began to wonder about love again, but this time we learnt it in groups. The Methodists started it. They had a little book called Creative Listening. And we sat round in our groups with this book and we read the short conversations that were printed there and we learned to change our tone and read it in different ways and learned that within words there are often other messages. It's not what you say, it's the way you say it. And then we went on and we learned about growth groups and human potential groups and encounter groups and psychodrama groups. All of these things of getting together and wondering about how to speak the truth in love. How do you say the things you really want to say without sounding terribly judgmental or way off beam? And so I think we learned four things.
Firstly, that everybody is to be treated with ultimate regard. Everyone. There is to be respect and regard for them all. The second thing is that there is no judgment in our meeting. You might have your own values, but there's no imposing them upon other people. Your judgments were your own. The third thing was empathy. Now, empathy is different from sympathy. Sympathy is feeling sorry for somebody. That's not on. Empathy is learning to stand where other people stand and see the world through their eyes and begin to sense what it is like to be in that position. And only then, the fourth thing, go about doing whatever you need to do in response. Not about doing good for others. That's imposing. So we learned all these things, but the interesting thing was we learned them without referring to God or Jesus. We learned them in groups, strange groups really, in many ways. But that's where we learned about how to speak the truth in love without judgment towards other people. I clung on to the verse in John, 1 John, the letters of John, 1 John 4:7. Beloved, let us love God, let us love because love is of God. Love is God. So in our search to speak the truth in love, we wondered whether love was what God was all about, and we wondered it afresh over and over again. It's a long journey with many twists and turns. Our young people will not follow that same road. They are born into what we have drifted into, if we're a little older, into the modern era, where there is no cosmic plan, there is no divine purpose and meaning in life. Those are gone. There's big, wide, empty spaces, and all we have is ourselves and learning how to love one another. And that's what they will do in their way, in their new age. We need to keep telling them the stories of Jesus so they know where they've come from. If you're going to a new age and phase in life, you must know where you've started from. So the stories of Jesus still remain as central in our teaching as we learn to be down to earth with life and learn again what it is to love one another. Thank you.
Thank you.
we bring our gifts. Let's say the prayer together. We give thanks for our life and the courage we are given to live it. Let our gratitude for life be expressed in our generosity. Let our faith be expressed in our engagement with the world. Let our hope for the world find expression in our attitude of mind. Amen. And now for the notices.
Welcome everyone to our service today. I'm Susan Jones, the minister here, and it's been a real treat for me to listen last week to Ken Irwin and this week to Alistair Harray, and it's going to be a treat next week to listen to Lloyd Gehring talking about how their thinking has changed over the time that they have been people and ministers. And thank you, Alistair, for today. It's not an easy thing to do, to expose yourself in this way. The people who are going to give notices are gathering, but first of all, if you've checked your email and if you've been on the grapevine, you'll know that the very Reverend John Murray died on Friday, and I've asked Pam to speak to us for a few minutes, so she's going to come up now. I'd just like to say that we do know the difference between the very Reverend and the right Reverend. You get to be very reverend once you've been a moderator. You're right reverend while you are the moderator. And we just had a little hiccup in the email over that.
I'm Pam Ormsby, a member of this congregation. Many of you would know that John had died. Some others may not. If you're like me and your email's out, you don't know anything. But for those who are interested, his funeral is at Carpenter Uniting Church, 27 Romatty Road, at 11 a.m. on next Tuesday. And our love to Shirley and her family, of course. John Murray, urban guerrilla, spirit-filled radical. I met the Murrays in a fight. It was apartheid, 1959. And you run into the same people again and again that you meet in a fight, because there's always another stoush comes along. It might be abortion law reform or homosexual law reform or any of those other sorts of things. You know that the lot that you meet in one stoush, you're going to meet them in the next stoush when that comes along. And that was where I first met the Murrays. I said to Jack Somerville, who was the minister here at the time, hey, we've got a pretty good take for our petitions. And petitions in those days, you didn't just do things on your computer, you actually went out and stood in the street and had people sign their name. We've got a pretty good coverage in all of the towns, but we need to get into the hinterland somewhere. And he said to me, get hold of young Murray up in Taihape, and the rest is history. John was a minister here for 18 years, and that included his term as moderator. And I'd wondered where he was going to find someone to, I've forgotten the proper term, but I would call the moderator's minder. I knew they had a good one at the moment, because Ken Ken Irwin was the moderator's minder at that particular time, and I thought, in fact, I said to John one day, hey, listen, you're going to have to find someone to sort of do this job for you. And I was actually thinking, who's he actually going to trust? And actually, who's going to really want the job? Because he was known to be a bit picky, bossy. Fancy that. And so I said to him, John, you're going to have to really think about this. And I actually said to him, because I don't know that there's going to be too many people would even want the job because you are such a bossy old whatnot. He said, oh, it's all right. I have a friend I think will do it. I'll let you know. And I said, oh, good, who's that? And he said, well, I'll let you know when I've discussed it with my friend. And then he sort of said to me, I think you should do it. And that really, really surprised me because this was a job that had always been done by a brother minister. I had never known anyone in that sort of position who was not clergy. And clergy in those days meant males, because there weren't hardly any of the other variety around. So I was surprised and honoured and quite tickled to find that I was it. And I am so glad that I was it, because it was the best job the church had ever given me. And the church had given me all sorts of jobs over the years. Fortunately, they never asked me to do the flowers, because I'm not good at that sort of thing. And it's nice when people... It's really nice when people know what you can't do, because then you don't embarrass them by asking or yourself by making a mess of it. And doing the flowers is... You don't ever ask me to do that. And it was the most exciting year possible. It was really wonderful. Moderators in those days, and I don't know what the hell they do now. They might do all sorts of things, but they used to go to two presbyteries in their year. But I knew already that John was planning to visit the church everywhere. And so that made his moderatorial year different from what had been around. And lots of people, I think, were quite surprised to find that here was someone who literally went everywhere from away up north to away down south, and also all points east and west in between. And I'm very grateful and very proud that I had that opportunity. And thumbing through some old papers, I found that I had summed up John's moderatorial term in two words: leadership and reconciliation. And if I may, I found I thought about this in the middle of the night, and I woke up and dug it out. And this was a poem that John and Shirley together wrote somewhere during assembly somewhere. And I like it. I think it might amuse you, so let me read it to you. The moderator's minder, a miracle, is Pam. A genius designed her and primed her in her pram. For though petite in stature, she packs a wicked punch. Committees cannot match her. She eats them up for lunch. This single brave convener has worked the church around, deceptive in demeanour, in strategy she's sound. Our Pam has known the splendours of presbytery sparks, the wiles and the agendas of presbytery clerks. She's written and persuaded, she's phoned and faxed and planned. To Tory Street, unaided, she's gone and made a stand. She terrorised the council. She almost frightened John. She has produced a groundswell. The revolution's on. And if there were a tribute to mark the job's demise, we feel we should distribute no ordinary prize. No order of the garter, no fuss ad nauseam. A true St. Andrew's martyr will venerate our Pam.
Thank you very much, Pam, and I'm glad that you made sure that John went all over the country, because I met him when he visited Gore. That was the first time I met John Murray. The funeral is Pam said, is on Tuesday at 11, and no doubt quite a few people will be going. I think if there was a little huddle on that end of the church, we could carpool probably quite effectively. And also Ken Irwin, who is taking the service with Roger Wigg, wants people to know that the cremation after the service is for the private for the family. The public service is the one in the church, if you can just remember that. There's a card at the back on the visitor book table if you wish to sign it, and we'll send it out with flowers during the week. There's also a copy of John's memoir if anyone hasn't seen it, the one that he asked us to table at the annual meeting. I was talking to Roger Wigg and he said, no doubt there is going to be much to be said about one of these giants of the church, was the phrase that he used of John. The parish council are going to have a huddle. We perhaps better have our huddle over this side afterwards to look at a memorial minute as well, which we can send the family. And Lynn has some news.
I'm Lynn Dovey, the parish convener. In a spirit that I think John would heartily have approved of, I'm pleased to tell you that we have appointed a new centre manager, a replacement for David, if that is possible. And her name is Letitia Brunel. She has an events background. So she comes to us actually from the Embassy Cinema, which is a big organisation, and they do a lot of big events. Her job title there is duty manager, but in fact, when I phoned her referees, I was told that she is the events person in Wellington. So she is a young woman who has a faith. She goes to St. John's in the city. That was not a requirement of the job, but I think it's not unhelpful. She has, we think, that X factor that we were looking for, and we are looking forward to welcoming her on the 1st of March, so not very far away. In the meantime, we've been very fortunate to have Harriet Dawson, who, as somebody said at Parish Council the other evening, smiles down the phone at you. We hope Letitia is going to smile down the phone at you as well. She does have a lovely, warm personality. So please do welcome Letitia when she arrives on the 1st. And also, if you are dealing with the office still, just bear in mind that they are quite stretched. Karen has done an absolutely amazing job of bridging the gap. She's worked longer hours. Normally she works half-time. She's worked a couple of weeks full-time. She's going to work 2 weeks full-time when Natisha arrives, and she's extended her hours to cover all kinds of contingencies because we've asked her to do extra work. So please feel free to pass on your thanks to Karen if you're talking with her. Thank you.
I think we should emphasise Alistair on the website as a very good childminder. There is some discussions going on about having an event here to celebrate John Murray's life sometime as time goes by. So if people are interested in that, do get in touch with me and let me know, and we can organise that.
Let us pray. Our theme this month is how my thinking has changed. And today's theme, love one another, that's all there is. Today we give thanks for the service of John Murray in this parish from 1975 to 1993. During John's ministry here, he opened the parish up to the needs of the city. During his time, the parish's thinking changed. We give thanks for the service of the firefighters in Christchurch this last week and for their ongoing efforts. We give thanks for all the folk who offered help to those evacuated. And we pray for the family of 38-year-old helicopter pilot David Stephen Askin, killed while firefighting. We give thanks for all the dedicated care given by so many of the service organisations in our community. We give thanks for public servants who endeavour to function at all times with the highest ethical and legal standards. We give thanks for those people in crucial positions all over the world who are trying to serve their country with the highest ethical and legal standards. We pray for families in need, and in particular, we remember Derek Holland and his family as they walk the final journey with him. From the Book of Requests for Prayer, we pray for the family and friends of John Murray. May God's peace and love surround them today and in the days ahead. And may this love also surround others that we know who have had family bereavements recently. May God's blessing and love surround Rosemary Froggatt and Jen Jacobson, who will be married at Hahe in the Coromandel this coming Friday. May this day be sacred and special as they make this commitment in their journey together. And we pray for Aroha and her wider family as they prepare for her grandfather's approaching death from cancer. May they celebrate as they prepare to mourn. In the circle of prayer, we think today of the people of Vietnam and the organizations working for HIV and AIDS education in Vietnam and throughout the world. In New Zealand, we remember those in Parliament, and today we name Mirino Tirikatane and Lindsay Titch and the members of their electorates of Te Tai Tonga and Waikato. Here in the Central Presbytery, we pray for the leaders and people of Queen Margaret College and Scots College. And to conclude, we pray the prayer for St. Andrew's on your sheet. This prayer was developed by the parish during John Murray's ministry. Renew your people, God, and renew our life in this place. Give us a new spirit of unity with all who follow Christ, and a new spirit of love towards all people. Bless the city in which we live, that it may be a place where honest dealing, good government, the desire for beauty, and the care for others flourish. Bless this church, that what we know of your will may become what we do, and what we believe, the strong impulse of our worship and work. Amen.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.